Okay, we're starting the Aruch Chaim Parshas Shemini, and it's good to have everybody back after Yom Tov. So I wanted to focus on a number of passages from the Aruch Chaim, right really at the beginning of the Parsha, where it talks about the eighth day after the Miluim and the dedication of the Mishkan. Yom HaShemini, the Pasuk starts off, it happened on the eighth day, Karo Moshe L'Aron Levono, Moshe called Aaron and his sons to Leziknei Yisrael, and he called together the Zekenim. So the Aruch Chaim comments on page Mem Zayin, towards the end of Pasuk Aleph, the first shtickle, Bayom, Da, ki ha'osa dover kazesh yitin gedu anodas lo zuloso, lo yiyye ochiv, kasher yishayiv lo la'asosa, lo yishlo t'nasho asosa b'gimel shleimius. You know, we forget when we read this pasuk how painful this entire episode must have been for Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was originally supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. You know, that was his original task. And by the snap, again, as Rashi tells us on Chumash, the Ribbono Shel Olam basically said, "You're no longer going to be Kohen Gadol. You're going to have to hand it over to your brother Aaron." And here, Moshe Rabbeinu, who had served essentially as the Kohen Gadol all the Zayin Yemei Miluim, all the 7 days of the Miluim, and here he was going to have to go and basically hand over the command to Aaron HaKohen, you know, to give up the Kohen Gadol forever. You can only imagine how painful that must have been for him. And you would think that even if Moshe Rabbeinu did it, because he did what he was commanded, he would have done it reluctantly. There would have been three elements of reluctance that Moshe Rabbeinu would have displayed. Ha'echad she'aseh b'mehirus. Number one, you wouldn't think that he would be so quick to do it, you know, I'll get around to it when I get around to it, you know, when you don't want to do something, somehow you always find something else to do. Secondly, even if he did it, you wouldn't think that he would do it with all the attention to detail which the act would demand. And number three, you wouldn't think that he would do it in public. Right? He would do it slowly, he would do it sloppily, and he would do it privately. Right? That's what you would think Moshe Rabbeinu would end up doing. The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Pasuk, is that he excelled in all three of these things. He did it quickly, he did it with attention to all the detail, and he did it publicly. Right, that's what the Pasuk starts off in terms of his alacrity in doing it. He did it by Yom HaShemini, on the eighth day, Pirush. B'yos HaBoker Tahar Lev Lo Ike Lo Tekev Kar La Aron Losis La Kudov Lo Nisakso. By Yom HaShemini means first thing in the morning. You know, he didn't say, okay, I'll wait a little bit. No, by Yom HaShemini, the eighth day came, the alarm clock went off, you know, it was first thing in the morning, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, come, let's make Aaron the Kohen. Wait a little bit, you know. Wants to do one last avodah, something like that, you know? No, he wanted to do it right away because that was the tzivui Hashem. Days. Also, Adolfo Betzir of Bechina Sahadrogos. Right? He did it also with all of the attention to detail that he was supposed to. Shanaz Nakuna, La'aron Uvanov Yachad. Not only did he give over the kuna to Aaron, he gave it to his sons. Agam Kiboze Yigdali Savon Belipo. Now, giving it over to his sons probably hurt Moshe Rabbeinu even more. The idea that not only was he making Aaron the Kohen, but that it would be passed on to his sons, and as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu's sons really didn't carry on the legacy of their father in any way, right? So it would hurt him even more. Nonetheless, he went ahead with it. You might have said, okay, so let him first call it Aaron and do his thing and then take a little break and then call it his sons and do it that way. No, he wanted to do all of the details and he wanted to do all of the details immediately also. Even though calling it Aaron and his sons, no doubt, gave him a great deal of pain. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu revealed his greatness by doing this in public in front of all the Zekenim. The Ksivu Ziknei Yisrael. He called in all the Zekenim. Now, why did he call them the Zekenim? He only needed Aaron and his sons to make them Kohanim. He could have done it in private, in a back room or something like that. No, he called them the Zekenim. Lasos Adover Befumbi, Befnei Rabbi Benichmodim. He wanted there to be an audience. Bezei Yore Al Shleimus Arotzim Lasos Rizoni Yisborach, the Kofa Har Veshosov. It shows us the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu that he bent his will to do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So right off, we haven't even gotten anywhere in the Parsha. Right, we're holding by the first Pasuk. And even in the first Pasuk, the Or HaChaim is drawing lessons, you know, for us, about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you to do something, even if it runs against your grain, you do it quickly, you do it publicly, if necessary, you know, if that will enhance that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do, and you do it b'shleimus, you do it with all of the component parts, you know, not leaving anything out. You know, it's an object lesson to us, right, from the beginning of the parasha. Oftentimes, you know, we find the mitzvahs of Hashem, things which are challenging, which run against our grain, which are difficult for us to do. And we procrastinate. We don't want to do them. We should do them with alacrity, bedavka, when they are things which are difficult for us to do. Right. So, in a sense, you know, one might argue that this is, in a sense, a kapara for that, you know, lack of alacrity when God asks him to take leadership. By the snag, God says, "Go be a leader." He says, "No, no, I'm not so convinced." Right. But and that's after why he lost the kahuna. That's when Aaron, you know, got it. So perhaps this is Moshe Rabbeinu's way of making up for that, you know, of coming in and showing the alacrity, which he realized that he had, you know, not really properly shown by the snap. The next piece in the Archive, just reading straight, is a very beautiful discussion of the concept of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanego, the notion that a prosecuting angel can't become a defending angel. Right? And just to put this in context, so let's first see the second pasuk in the parasha and Rashi's comment on it. Vayomer el Aaron, Hashem has gathered together the Jewish people, or Aaron, his children, and the Zakenim, and he says to Aaron, Kach lecha egel ben bokar lechatos, take for yourself an egel, a calf, ben bokar, a calf, l'chatos, to be a carbon chatos, v'ayo l'ola t'mimim, and a ram as a carbon ola, they should both be unblemished, v'hakrit l'bnei Hashem, and bring them as carbonos. What's the lashon kach l'cha, egel ben bokar? Right, the egel, the calf, is taken l'cha, for you, Aaron. The ayo, the ram is just taken. Why is the egel l'cha? So Rashi comes, kach l'cha egel, lo diach shemechata lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yidei egel zeh ma'isa egel she'asa. This calf that Aaron is taking is symbolically showing that Hashem is mechater, is atoning for Aaron HaKohen, for Aaron's involvement in the ma'isa ha'egel, for Aaron's involvement in the golden calf. That's why it's kach l'cha egel. Take an egel for yourself, meaning this egel is going to be mechaper for something that you did. It has, this egel is personal. You know, it touches on something that you did yourself. So comes the Or HaChaim, Yumadav Gimel, Diktiku Achash Omar Vel Bnei Yisrael Kach Lecha Lomali, Muvan Husho Egel Lo. Why does it say Lecha? Bedarsh Shabar Lomar Shikach Mishalo Velo Mishal Tzibur. Chazal interpret the word Lecha to mean that you have to own it. In other words, you can't. This egel, this calf, is, you know, you spent your own money on it, Aaron. It's not from the common pot. You know, it's not from the trumas. It's not from the trumas alishka. Not from the money that came from the tzibur. You have to spend your own money. Kach l'cha. You buy yourself this egel. Od nira lomar. But beyond what Chazal said on a technical level, says the Or HaChaim, one can interpret as follows: Ki amro l'cha ki zehi alo la'os olam ki lo aso hu ha'egel b'chavono chas v'shalom. Right, the point of saying l'cha is to remind or to show that Hashem recognizes that even though Aaron was involved in making the egel, he certainly didn't have the intent of making the egel. I mean, Aaron HaKohen was not looking to make an egel to mislead the Jewish people on the path of Avodah Zarah. V'lotah acharov, and he certainly didn't worship it himself. El shabar yodah v'lo kavanah v'lo machshavah ra. The egel came about without, you know, unintentionally through Aaron HaKohen, and without Aaron having any, you know, bad machshavos, bad thoughts in that direction. And that's why this egel, which is going to be brought as a carbon chatos at this point, will work. Right? The Arachan poses an interesting question implicitly over here. So Aaron brings an egel to be machaper for his role in making the egel asof. Why don't Klal Yisrael bring an egel to be mechaper for their role in worshipping the Egel HaZov? They also have something to do with the Egel HaZov. How come Aaron is bringing it and they're not bringing it? Answer, says the Arachayim, Aaron can have his sin atoned for by a korban, because Aaron was a shogeg. Aaron was certainly, whatever he did wrong, you know, wasn't intending to make an Avodah Zarah that they would worship. That's his contention, which he's going to back up, you know, a little bit later on. Aaron, whatever he sinned, was unintentional. The people sinned intentionally. The people who sinned intentionally can't just expiate their sin by bringing a korban. Aaron, who sinned unintentionally, can atone for his sin through a korban. I mean, that's the way korbanos work in general. But there, a person brings a korban chatos for a shogeg, right? He doesn't bring a korban chatos for a mason. So only Aaron can get away with a korban over here, because Aaron's sin was unintentional. The sin of the people was intentional. Adarabba, if the people brought a korban chatos, if they brought an egel as a korban chatos, that would be a classic example of en kategor nasis an egel, that which is a source of prosecution can't be a source of defense. They hit the timsa. So once we bring in this idea of en kategor nasis an egel, he says, you know, it's interesting. We find shehikpid Hashem al Aaron leval yikamnes leves Hashem p'tima b'yom ha-kippur and b'big day zav l'tzad she'osa zahav l'ega. Right? We know that famously when Aaron HaKohen goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to wear gold, right? He can only wear white, because gold reminds us of the Egel HaZav, reminds Hashem of the Egel HaZav, and for Aaron to seek atonement while wearing that which reminds us of the Egel HaZav is en kategor nasis an egel. The prosecution can't be transformed into the defense. Ve'eish lahoyer bozeh. You know, this is an interesting thing, says the Arachayim. Lo motziva Hashem shi'ovi egel be'boker l'chatos. Ve'lo achatos bo l'kapor. Ve'en l'cho saneger ba'olam kazeh. That seems inconsistent with what's going on over here. Aaron brings an egel to be mechaper for the egel. That's okay. But if Aaron goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim wearing gold, because the gold reminds one of the gold of the Egel HaZov, so therefore he can't use the golden begodim to help achieve a kapara. So the golden begodim he can't use to help achieve a kapara. But an egel, you know, which certainly reminds you of the egel much more readily than the gold of his clothing, the egel he can use to help achieve a kapara? Doesn't that fly in the face of en kategor nasis an egel? Answers the Arachayim. Venira, so it would appear the answer is as follows. Ki Adon Baruch Hu Shofar B'Tzedek HaDover. Litzad ki Aram O'asa Shum Pu'ula B'Buchinas Maisa Egel. Ki Lo Tziro V'Lo Heichino Ve'in Tzarek Lomash Lo Hemen Bo V'Lo Toach Harab Chas V'Shol K'mamor Lo Moshe V'Yetze Ho Egel Pirish Me'atzmo Yotza Ayidei Maisa Asher Osu Beis Mechash Ve'erev Rav Yenus V'Yom Berus K'mamor Amzal. Right? Again, as we said before, Aaron's involvement in the egel was entirely b'shotik. He didn't fashion the egel. He didn't design the egel. Right? If anything, as Aaron tells Moshe Rabbeinu later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and says, what happened over here? So Aaron says, you know, honestly, I took this gold, I threw it into this cauldron, boom, all of a sudden this egel came out. I didn't think that was going to happen. Why did that happen? So he quotes the Medrash that there were two mechashmen among the Erev Rav, who knew sorcery, they knew magic, and they were able to magically produce this egel azov out of the gold that had been thrown into the cauldron.
So, what
was that?
What was Aaron's
He was stolen. Right? Until we do all of this, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu will come back down already. So give me your gold, right? you know, what do you think was going to happen? So he put the gold into the cauldron, we'll stir and stir and come back, and yeah, we'll do it. And then, boom, all of a sudden, here's the Nagel HaKol. Where did that come from? Right, so out of HaKol, the way the Aruch Chaim describes the story, really, you know, his involvement in the Nagel is entirely b'shogeg, with one exception. He did collect the gold. Right? That's the one thing that Aaron actually did b'poel, that he really did b'nesed. Now again, the way the Aruch Chaim is presenting the story, he collected the gold to stall. Now, he wasn't collecting the gold to really make an egel azov, right? That part just kind of happened by itself. But the one part which he was benazed on was that he did collect the gold. Me'ata, ma'isa sh'asa b'b'chinas azov, sh'om el'er, l'mizahav, is
baroku.
Sorry.
Yeah. In other words, if he was going from point to see where Hashem or Kodoy, or he shouldn't have been involved to want to stop them. In other words, his wanting to stop them and making a sacrifice was the very instance. He shouldn't just let it happen because he shouldn't have cared so much about the people to let it happen. In a sense.
I don't understand the question.
Why was his collecting gold amazing? Amazing is a very strong word.
Amazing means it's something he did intentionally. So he did intentionally collect the gold. He said, please give me your gold, and he collected it, right? So that's intentional.
Right? Wasn't it usually associated with...
Maybe it just means he did it intentionally, right? In other words, the forming of Degel HaZov was something which he didn't intend to do, but he certainly, it was premeditated that he collected the gold, right? So that's what he says, his paraku v'lokach mi'odom v'yasa so b'cheret, right? He did take the gold and shape it somewhat. He did the act of collecting and shaping the gold, you know, with full knowledge. Right? Now, why did he do that? So he was afraid of getting killed, as Chur had. You know, so in other words, he didn't want to step up to the Jewish people, stand up to them directly. He wanted to kind of play along with them. You know, the gam hoye ma'abe lo'mazman at Yehovah Moshe. He was hoping to, you know, to kill time basically until Moshe Rabbeinu would come. Afal piche. By the way, the term ma'abe lo'mazman. You know, this mamash like our English expression, you know, kill time. Right? He was looking to lose the time until Moshe Rabbeinu came. Afal piche. Are also ma'ase b'ulti agun. Right, but nonetheless, his collection of the gold was inappropriate. He shouldn't have collected the gold from there. So God tells him, bring the egel to atone for the shogeg part of your involvement in the egel. And that's the fact that you had something to do with the fact that an egel was created and that people worshipped it, etc., etc., etc. You're a shogeg, so you could bring the egel as a korban chatos to be mechaper for the shogeg part of it. However, aval azov, but the gold, shemaisa shalsabai the kavana samachuva, with regards to the collection of the gold, there you were amazed, you intended to collect it. Amar Hashem lo yeirabo lifnai v'lifnim. There, you can't wear gold when you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Shelo yeose kategor sanegor. Right, because there the idea of en kategor nasa sanegor, that the prosecutor can't be the defense, applies. So, the Aruch Chaim basically has been mechadish a very important idea with En Kategor Nasa Sanegor. En Kategor Nasa Sanegor only applies to those sins that are done b'nesed. And basically his argument is that when you analyze Aaron's role with regard to the Egel Azov, most of what Aaron did was b'shogeg, and there we don't say En Kategor Nasa Sanegor, so he can bring an egel to be mechapir for his shogeg role in the Egel Azov. But he can't wear gold into the Kodesh HaKodashim because the gold, his involvement with gold, was an involvement which was b'mezid, that was premeditated. And there, with regard to that, we have to say, Ein Kateger Nasa Sanega, right? That, you know, there, for something premeditated, for something b'mezid, so then he can't, you know, the prosecution can't suddenly be transformed into the defense. Right, so it's a very, very interesting mahalach. A, in terms of understanding Aaron's role. B, in terms of En Kategor Nasa Sanegor. And then he adds, Mashenka Yisrael Shechotu Bo Egel, the Jewish people who sinned with the Egel, the mazes, Enim Yochon Lahavi Egel L'Chaparu. Like, they can't bring even an egel as a korban, because the Jewish people's involvement with the egel is entirely bemesed. Right? So there, the concept of en kategor nasas on egel would apply even to bringing the egel as a korban. That's why they bring the seir izim, the goat, a little bit later on. To bring the egel, you know, certainly, they do bring something, but in other words, to bring the egel, you know, to bring an actual egel is not going to do the trick.
But the
they were killed. I mean, they didn't have the opportunity of bringing a car.
Uh-huh.
Right. So this is
one that cloud is so that things were being punished for generations.
So that's because the sin was so grievous. Some of it's a trickle down effect, you know, to that particular sin. But I mean, you can make the same argument about the Zav. I mean, the Zav was even is even further removed from the egel, as though I think with the idea of an egel. I mean, it is an egel. You know? Right, but. Well, I think it was not by accident that they ended up with this egel. I mean, again, Chazal say they took the piece of paper that, you know, was used to raise Yosef from the Nilus, alei shor, you know, rise up, O ox. You know, they had it in mind. It wasn't just arbitrary. Oh, let's see what comes out. You know, they Davka wanted an egel, you know, to be the thing they would worship. O nir lomar behoir. Eich anu omrim en kategor nasa saneger binyin hazav v'lo omru arbo bigdei zav shokoyim galo mechapna arbo minei averus. Another discussion about en kategor nasa saneger. We just said that en kategor nasa saneger is the reason that Aaron HaKohen can't wear the bigdei zav, the golden clothing, into the Kodesh HaKodoshim on Yom Kippur. Okay. So presumably because those begadim of zav can't be mechaper. You know, they lack the ability to atone. But wait a minute. But the Gemara says in Erchin, other places in Svachim, that every beggar of the Kohen Gadol was mechaper, did atone for a particular avera. So then these four big days of, these four golden, you know, these four pieces of clothing that had gold elements to them, were elements of kapara. So then you go back to the question, how could they ever act as elements of kapara? Good, so they didn't act as elements of kapara on Yom Kippur. But they did act as elements of kapara stam during the rest of the year. Each beggar of the Kohen Gadol was mechaper for a different avera that Kal Yisrael did. So how did that work? Why don't we say en kategor nasa saneger? Uvehechrech liyashit, you have to say, ki yishtana kaparas chutz mi kaparas pnim. There are different types of kapara. The kapara of Pnim, the kapara of Kodesh HaKadoshim, is a much deeper and more significant kapara than the kapara which takes place outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shekaparas Pnim, Alberes HaChatoim Kashelek, the kapara that takes place inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim whitens the sins like snow. Zelecha Os L'Sham Shel Zehuris, right, as we know famously, the little strip of material turns from red to white. You know, when the Sar Mishtaleach goes over the cliff on Yom Kippur, the Dovazahu Muflo, the Sar Shalom Yimatze Bo Roshim Ha'avon Klau, to achieve that kind of kapar, you need a full-fledged kind of mechaper, and Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor is relevant. Asher Akein Ha'gadim Liyosa Bachus Mechaperim Ha'gama Yosa Min Zav Ma'ashen Kekabar Spinim. So the begadim, even though they have this element of Zav in them, they're good enough to be mechapir outside, but they're not mechapir inside. Right? Let me just elaborate on this a little bit. I mean, one thing which I think is implicit in the Aruch Chaim, even though he doesn't quite say it, when we talk about the Gadol of the Kohen Gadol being mechaper, you know, in general, during the year, it's obvious, even without his question of Enkategu Nasa Sanega, that the kind of kapara we're talking about is not equivalent, it's a low level, a low grade kapara. It's not equivalent to the kind of kapara which was achieved by the Kohen Gadol going with Naidel Islam on Yom Kippur. Why do I say that? Well, because the kapara of Yom Kippur, the kapara of the Sar Mishtaleach, halachically, is considered to wipe away the averus of Klal Yisrael, literally. You know, I mean, if you go through the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, you know, the Rambam describes how, yeah, the Sar Mishtaleach was mechap. You know, you used to have an avera before the Sar Mishtaleach, now you don't have an avera anymore. Mamish, it wiped it away. You know, kashel yalvinu, literally like he says. The Begadol of the Kohen Gadol, we're told by the Gemara, are mechaper for all kinds of averus. Shvichus damim, Lashon Hara, Gilui Arayas, Avodah Zarah. So let me ask a silly question. So the Kohen Gadol wore these begadim all the time, the whole year round. So no one in Klal Yisrael should ever have any averus, right? So if anyone ever murders anybody in Klal Yisrael, there's no averus, right? The begadim of the Kohen Gadol were mechaper for Mitzichah. The begadim of the Kohen Gadol were mechaper for Gilui Arayas, for the Avodah Zarah.
After the
Yom Kippur, yeah, that's the Sar Mishtaleach. The Kayach, the Sar Mishtaleach, was it wiped away everything? Yeah. So, Sar Mishtaleach was Mechaper even without Tshuva? Sounds like, I mean, okay. You take a look in the Ram of Hilchos Tshuva, but it was such a tremendous kapara. So, I mean, if the God of the Kohen Gadol were mechaper for all these types of avodas, so there are no sinners in Klal Yisrael. Mamash, we're all tzaddikim every single day. So what do you need? What do you need the kapara of the Sar Mishtaleach? You know, before Yom Kippur, we're also all tzaddikim. I mean, every single day, the God of the Kohen Gadol were mechaper for all these avodas. The terrifying obviously is, this doesn't exonerate Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean, yeah, tell as much Lashon Hara as you want. Hey, don't worry about it. The Kohen Gadol is working as the God of the mechaper for Lashon Hara. It means that collectively, you know, Klal Yisrael are not going to be held as accountable for our sins collectively because of this koach of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, right? But clearly, whatever that kapara is, it's not a full fledged kapara, because then you wouldn't need the kapara of the Sar Mishtaleach. You wouldn't need anything, right? Just as long as the Kohen Gadol is wearing his begadim, everything's fine with the world. Right? So clearly the kapara of the Kohen Gadol is a lower level kapara. I don't know how you define it exactly, but it's clearly a lower level than the kapara, the Sar Mishtaleach, the kapara that takes place on Yom Kippur. So basically, says the Aruch Chaim, the concept of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger is only applicable for a high level of kapara. For a low level of kapara, it's okay. Kateger Nasa Saneger. Right? You don't have to be so concerned about the fact that you're using a katek or a zahav, you know, to be mechaper in this particular case. Right? The Aruch Chaim goes on to say, the gam lo chi chiluk ze yishtar
echeich. So in other words, the individual aspect of doing a veira and tshuva and having to do tshuva and having to pay.
You know, no, see, for sure you have to pay back, right?
I mean, in terms of the retribution, stuff like that. As far as the individuals of Klal Yisrael, that doesn't change. What does change is the data that the cloud is the kabbal as a cloud.
I think
that's the kabbal.
Yeah, I think so. Now, even according to this Mahalach, you still have to say that Aaron's chait is different than the chait of the Klal Yisrael. Ki Aaron mechaper b'chus v'big be'zav, Yisrael eino miskaper bo'egel, ki chait Aaron b'zav shor gegomer v'hoyo, v'lu kichoso v'nisinoso b'cheret, ma she'en ken Yisrael. Well, Yisrael eino miskaper bo'egel afilu b'chutz. Now, he's just got through saying that Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger doesn't apply to a kapara that takes place outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Clearly that's not entirely true, he says, because after all, his whole starting point is that Aaron brings an egel to be mechaper for his role in the Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael can't bring an egel to be mechaper for their role in the Chet HaEgel because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. Aye, but it's an Avodah Shebachutz. The answer is, you know, even within this distinction between a kapara Shebachutz and a kapara Shebitznim, even that is only within the Chais of Aram, who did whatever he did, Bishogeg, right? And even the Zav, okay, but collecting the Zav is not as bad as actually worshipping an Ego, right? I mean, relatively speaking, it wasn't as bad an Aveira. So that, you know, you can make a distinction between Bithnim and Bachutz. For Klal Yisrael, the concept of Enkat Eger, Nasa San Eger, you know, is relevant even for a Kapara Bachutz. In addition to the proof that he brings for this idea, you know, from the fact that Klal Yisrael, on the eighth day, you know, don't have an Egel that's brought for them, right? Because Enkat Eger, Nasa San Eger, you also see that with regard to the Halachas of Shofar, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that you can't make a Shofar from the horn of an eagle, from the horn of a paro, because ain kat eger nasa san eger. Wait a minute, but that's bachutz, that's not bifnim, it's not something you're doing in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Answer, since the shofar is being mechaper for Klal Yisrael, not for Aaron, right? It's being mechaper for us, and, you know, for us, anything that's reminiscent of the eagle, even bachutz, is problematic, so therefore, you know, we have to avoid the shofar of that's reminiscent of the Chet Regel, you know, even though it's a kapara, which is bachutz. Right. I mean, it's for us in the broad sense of the term. You know, we're considered to be the continuation of that group of Klal Yisrael that engaged in the sin. Now, continuing on this idea of kapara, so the next pasuk Gimel says as follows: Yel Bnei Yisrael Tadaber Leimor. Moshe is continuing to instruct Aaron, and he tells him, go and you should speak to Klal Yisrael, saying, Kichus Yirizim L'chatos, go take a goat as a korban chatos, ve'egel v'cherdes b'nei shalat tmimim l'olam. And you should go take a calf and a lamb as an olam. Right? So ask the Arachayim and Gimel, Tzarech lodas, matam yidaber kan Aaron l'Yisrael. You know, it's interesting. Who's telling the Jewish people to go take these karbonos? Aaron HaKohen. That's not the way it usually works. Usually Moshe tells the people what to do. Aaron is the one carrying out, you know, the various avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. You know, why is Aaron in this case being told by Moshe, go tell the people to take these karbonos? Matam yidaber kan Aaron liyisrael v'lo Moshe harogil. V'ulai what was part of Aaron's chait by the ego? He told the people, go bring me your gold. So part of his sin was in instructing the people in a way which was misleading. So part of his kapara, says the Arachayim, is to once again speak to the people, but this time to tell them to bring something which will help, you know, bring about a type of kapara. Hapesha osar wapesha hitir. And he says, and this is a borrowed use of the phrase, but the mouth that prohibited is going to be the same mouth which is going to permit. Meaning, the mouth of Aaron, which got him into trouble, is going to have to achieve a kapara for itself by telling the people to do that which is right. We've already mentioned in numerous places the words of Chazal, Ki achet yafil ha-genai b'mekalmo. Chet creates a certain disgrace in the place in the body where the chet took place. Batikun tzarech lios mechuben kenegdo. And the rectification of the sin has to be somehow like a midah keneged midah. It has to be in the same area where the sin itself took place. But who omro tedaber leimor? Pirush tedaber dibur sheish bo ma'ilo usuchus kineged dibur shahoyu bo hashpola shirpor abo esa'ah. That's why Aaron goes and speaks to the people, not Moshe. Moshe would have just told them, not just about instructing the people what to do. Aaron's instruction to the people is in itself part of his kapara. You sinned by telling them to do something wrong, now go and tell them to do something right, and that will help correct what you did back then. You know, you don't really see that he lost credibility. I mean,
you know, would think that they were not responsible, perhaps we should not be the ones to talk to Israel about this.
Right. I mean, I think what you see from the whole episode, you really appreciate that, you know, Aaron was so relatively blameless. Obviously, he did make a mistake. But relatively speaking, most of what he did was shogeg, and he was really, you know, acting relatively honorably throughout the entire episode. So much so that you don't see that blame game going on. In other words, you know, even Carlisle kind of recognized this was our fault, and Aaron HaKohen was really not primarily at fault over here. This is really something that we brought on ourselves. You know, by the way, we brought this out. He wasn't the major reason we got into this. Because again, you see that they didn't react in that kind of, you know, blaming and harmful manner.
Maybe he didn't just try to do it. The fact is that even though he didn't do it, you know, 100%, he admitted he made a mistake. And believe it to say, I don't know, or I admit the guilt, is they're trying to cover it up. That just may have added to his credibility.
Right. The very fact that he admitted his error, you know, may have added to his credibility. Right, and he more or less got off. Right. Yeah. But I guess, you know, you see there was this recognition. They realized that, you know, he really couldn't be the fall guy for everything that had happened. I mean, as much as one might be tempted to read the psukim in that kind of way.
Maybe that's why they didn't hold it against him either.
Right.
They, even though they got severely punished, they realized
right.
It was their fault. He did it because he fell into the trap.
Right.
He admitted falling into the trap. Well, right. Some handed it.
Right. Okay. Od nira. Ki letzav she'ol ha'arav b'malo ha'niflo ha'loz mitoch kol Yisrael bo bochar Hashem lezer omar ilov Moshe sh'yidavil Yisrael amiros rakos v'hu omro le'mor v'chein timso she'omar ki hayom Hashem niroa leichem Pirush kol ha'musug v'kol ha'rotzon eino elo letzav Yisrael ka'omro aleichem v'lo li. A second way to interpret the insistence of Moshe that he speak to Yisrael is to drive home to Moshe's insistence that Aaron speak to Yisrael is to drive home the following message: you're only who you are because of them. Don't think that you earned this or merited this on your own. You're in the position you are because of the schus of Klal Yisrael, which elevated you. So to drive that home to you, I want you to go speak to them. You're not this high priest who was somehow divorced from the people. You're a Kohen Gadol who derives his very Kedusha from the connection to the people themselves. Right, it's a symbiotic relationship. You're helping them out, but they're also helping you out. This, by the way, if you recall in Parshas Vayikra, this was a theme that the Arachaim had spoken about in his discussion of the Par Kohen Moshiach. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol, who just sins b'shogeg, doesn't bring a Korban Chatos normally? So the Arachaim told us, unbelievable pshat, right, that the schus of working on behalf of the people protects the Kohen Gadol, protects him from the impact that the sin would have on him. Even when he doesn't sin, he doesn't need the Korban Chatos to atone for it, because the sin doesn't leave any roshem, you know, on his personality. For Aaron to appreciate that, Moshe says, I don't want you to just do your stuff. Go and connect to the people. Because by your connecting to the people, you bring out this idea that your Kedusha and the Madrega that you have ultimately stems from them. Okay, I wanted to take a look at a beautiful Arachayim Pasuk Ches. And continuing along the lines of, you know, all these Karbanos that were brought on that first day. It says, Vayikrav Aaron al HaMizbeach. Aaron came close to the Mizbeach. Vayishchat Egel HaChatos Asher Lo. And he shechted this ego, this calf, for the Korban Chatos which was his. The whole first half of the pasuk doesn't really seem to add anything. Yeah, of course. Okay, how did he come to shecht the Korban Chatos unless he drew close to the mizbeach? What's the point of telling us that he drew close to the mizbeach? So says the Arachaim beautifully as follows: the Arachaim pasuk ches. Yirmos l'divrem sham u'shalul nevu achote ma ansho amra hanefesh achote sitamus. Right. this whole first half of the pasuk hints at the famous Talmud Yerushalmi, which says they asked Nevuah, if a person sins, what should be his punishment? So Nevuah said, if you sin, you should die. I mean, you know, what do you want? And it's only because of God's tremendous rachmanus that God allows the bringing of a karbon instead of the person who sinned dying. Sheikar maisa karbon umachsheves hamakriv kuhua chayuv b'chol amasa asher yosef b'karbon holy zavach holy sarif alo ishim. How does a karbon work? Karbon's not magic that you kill an animal and you burn it and then poof, everything disappears. The way the karbon works is that the person feels, I should be that karbon. I should really be shechted. I should really be burnt on the mizbeach. Right? That's what the person should be thinking. When the person thinks, I really deserve to die in such a way, it's those thoughts which achieve the kapara. That's what the pasuk says, that Aaron, before he brought the karbon, came close to the mizbeach. It doesn't mean, you know, just literally, he walked up to the altar. No. Pirush, ku atzmo heichin losum osham nafsho, vayikravel hamizbeach, he mentally drew himself close to that object which was going to be shechted. Vikarev lamizbeach, when he came close to the mizbeach in this context doesn't mean the altar, but pirush was zvicho loishim. He came close to the object, to the karbon, which was going to be shechted. He came close to it, not just physically. He mentally identified with the karbon. That's by Yikrav Aaron on his peyach. For us, Hashchitu b'mekamu lo egel esarach me Hashem sheisratzu avi chalifatza. And he agreed that this karbon would be shechted in front of him, instead of him. And that was the expression of God's rachmanus, that God was accepting the karbon in his stead. And then so there's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk by Yikrav Aaron on his peyach. Right? And then he goes on to add the following, the Arachai. For is he lost his lay for Indian, Lafima Shakodam, Lano Kinishba, Hashem, Lahamid, Olam, Ruach, Bemishba. Kola Omer, Akodish Baruch, Uvatu, Yvatu, Bene Meyov. We know that God's not a softy. God, you know, rules the world with justice. Im Kain, Im Anefesh Achotis, Mishpota, Itomus, Kamaimah, Hanovi, Ich Yavi, Kodam, Yipotem. So then, if God's not a softy, God's not a pushover, God's not a vatra, so then, how can the karbonus work? If a person who sins really deserves to die, so then, how do you bring a karbon and just kind of make it all better? She says as follows. V'nira kitam nochon yesh badar al pi amishpat. The karbon makes sense, even from the point of view of strict justice. Why? Ki kisha adam chote ein b'chinas o b'chias adam. When a person sins, and that moment when he sins, he's no longer really a person. Chazal tell us, if you really had your wits about you, you'd never sin. If you really thought about, you know, the tremendous punishment that God has in mind for a sinner, and the tremendous benefits of doing what's right and doing mitzvahs, you'd never sin. It doesn't make any sense to sin. When a person sins, it's because he's seized by some type of temporary insanity. Doesn't know what he's doing. When a person sins, he stops being a person at that moment, he becomes an animal. But when a person does tshuva, ruach bo enosh, ve'olam imadvegas behemel imadvegas sa'ata. Tshuva restores this person from being an animal to being a person. When you sin, you become an animal. When you do tshuva, you go back to being a person.
So why? I think a person...
Don't give us the complete
make us do a complete
tshuva.
On our own, without
carbon,
we're workable.
We'll do
more.
Okay, so now that this person has become a person again, he doesn't deserve to die. Who deserves to die? A behema. Because who sinned? This person qua behema sinned. So, you know, now that the person is a person again, don't kill the person, because this isn't the person who sinned. There's no such thing as a person who sinned. The person who sinned is a behema. Right? Now that he's done tshuva, you know, in a proper way, he's become a person. Now, tshuva and the karbon go hand in hand. Again, the karbon is not, it's not a panacea. The karbon is supposed to be accompanied by tshuva. He's misnagda. He confesses on top of the karbon. But the karbon, what does the karbon represent? When you bring the animal as a karbon, you really are destroying the thing that sinned. I mean, obviously, this calf, this sheep didn't sin. But when you sinned, you were a behema, in a metaphoric sense. When you see the animal being dismembered and being burned, that helps you think, when I sinned, I became no better than this animal. And it's this animal being destroyed, which is really the animalistic part of me, which should die because of this sin. So what ultimately saves man? When he has this sensation that, yes, when I sinned I was a behemoth, and it's that behemoth which is dying. It's that realization which ultimately works to the person's advantage. Pretty soon we'll go back to saying the Shabbos by Mincha. What does it mean? That man and beast you will save Hashem. Ki chelek ha-behemi sheba adam, the animalistic part of man, bistarfuso im ha-adam shebechina sahaskim, when the animal in man joins together with the human, the intellectual, the spiritual in man, no shabo, that's when salvation comes about. Pirush litzido, kadesh lo yiranesh lo huayno roi lo onesh. When man elevates himself to be man, and he takes the animalistic part of himself, and he says, this is what sinned, this is what deserves to be punished. When you put those things together, Adam uveheima, then Toshia Hashem. Ubozeh afilu b'din akrovas karbon bi'ar hacheith u'akava mishpah. When you realize this, you realize that really the whole idea of karbonus makes tremendous sense, right? Because the person is eradicating his chelek bahami, his animalistic aspect, which is the part of him that sinned. Ka'omro, and that's what we say at that pasuk, which we say Shabbos by Mincha, Mishpotecha Tahom Rabbah, your mishpat, your justice, is so deep. Because really, this is justice. This is the way, it's not getting out of justice. It's not getting out of what you deserve. It is what you deserve. The chelek bahami in the person is destroyed. It's deep justice. That's Adam Uveheima Toshia Hashem. Beautiful insight into the whole idea of karbonos, which he leads back to this pasuk. Vayikrav Aaron al Mizbeach, when the person bringing the karbon identifies with the Mizbeach, with that which is, to be shechted. So that's when the Yeshua, when the kapara ultimately can come about.
So I have to say, therefore it's better that we have the base minutes, that we have the kabbalah, and now we have a major chasara.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even when we do true shleim, but it's not true shleim.
We look forward to the restoration of the kabbalah. We see that as an ideal. Okay.